Welcome you. Look, we know that wading through new political agreements can sometimes feel a bit overwhelming, right?
Absolutely, like trying to read the instructions for something really complicated.
Exactly. But in this deep dive, we're going to cut straight to the important stuff in the brand new Coalitions for TRAG 2025. That's the coalition deal between the CDU, CSU, and SPD. And our focus today, we're zeroing in on what this agreement really means for Germany and, its place in the world.
Think of this agreement as the blueprint for the incoming government. It's a pretty dense document.
Right.
So our mission here is really to pull out those key bits that are going to shape how Germany interacts globally. We want to give a clear picture, maybe highlight a couple of surprising things, and definitely avoid getting bogged down.
Okay, let's dive right in then. The core of Germany's global standing, obviously, is its economy, its economic engine.
True.
The agreement talks about some, well, pretty ambitious economic goals, new growth, good jobs, a joint effort. What's the actual game plan here?
Well, fundamentally, they're talking about reducing bureaucracy, which, let's be honest, is a common goal,
Always.
and pairing that with an active trade policy. What's important, I think, is the clear statement that Germany intends to remain an open, internationally focused economy.
So, no pulling back.
No, it seems more about engaging strategically, not retreating.
That makes sense given Germany's reliance on exports, and it sounds like they mean business, talking about strengthening the European single
Which is
market
vital, yeah.
and actively chasing new trade deals, while also, crucially, keeping an eye on supply chain security.
Precisely. Recent years have really shown how vital resilient supply chains are. So that focus is key. And what's really interesting, connecting directly to Germany's future competitiveness, is this innovation schub für die Wirtschaft.
An innovation boost. Okay, sounds promising. What's in that?
A big part is supporting startups. They clearly see them as, future champions.
Right, the next big things.
But maybe the most impactful piece for Germany's global position is this planned special fund. It's designed to bridge the financing gap for growth and innovation capital.
For who specifically?
It's targeting small and medium-sized enterprises, the famous Mittelstand, but also those companies ready to scale up significantly.
And this fund isn't small change, is it? I saw a figure, 100 billion
At
euros.
least 100 billion euros, yeah. That's the aim. It shows the scale they think is needed to keep Germany competitive globally.
Wow. So why is that level needed now?
Well, it's about making sure that good ideas born in Germany actually get the capital to grow in Germany, creating those high-value jobs here.
Got it.
And what's interesting is how they plan to do it. It's using federal guarantees, but also aiming to pull in a lot of private capital.
Ah, leveraging private money.
Exactly. And the agreement stresses that investment decisions will be business-oriented, with a focus squarely on Germany.
So, nurturing homegrown innovation. Are there other ways they're trying to free up capital? I think I read something about equity requirements.
You did. They plan to lower the equity capital needed for infrastructure projects and also for venture capital investments by billions.
And the logic there is.
Make it easier for big infrastructure projects to get funded and easier for those innovative young companies to get the venture capital they need to grow and compete internationally.
Okay, now here's something that caught my eye. Seems like a real shift. Opening up public funding to security and defense tech.
Yes, that is definitely noteworthy. It reflects the changed geopolitical reality, doesn't it?
It certainly seems to.
By putting public money into defense tech, Germany's signaling a bigger commitment to its own security and maybe playing a bigger role globally in that sphere.
And wasn't there something about Sprind, that innovation agency?
Yes, strengthening Sprint. Think of it like Germany's DARPA and explicitly letting it work on defense projects. This could really push cutting-edge tech with both civilian and, military uses.
Enhancing strategic autonomy, maybe.
That seems to be part of the goal, yes,
Yeah.
and boosting its international standing in that field.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly. Energy. Another huge factor for global competitiveness.
Absolutely critical.
The agreement wants internationally competitive but also plannable energy costs. Why the emphasis on plannable?
Predictability is gold for industry. Businesses need stable cost forecasts for long-term investments. Unpredictable energy prices can really stifle that.
Makes sense. And hydrogen seems central to their plans, connecting industrial centers.
Yes, a hydrogen core network across the country. It's a big strategic bet on hydrogen's future role, especially for decarbonizing heavy industry.
And they're starting with all colors of hydrogen. What does that mean practically?
It means they're being pragmatic initially, not just waiting for purely green hydrogen from renewables, which takes time and infrastructure.
So using blue hydrogen from gas with carbon capture too.
Exactly. And maybe other types to get the infrastructure built and scale up faster. The long-term goal is green, but they need to start somewhere.
Okay. Beyond energy, there's a really bold ambition stated: making Germany the world's most innovative location for chemicals, pharma, and biotech.
It is bold. And they seem to recognize the regulatory side of that. They mentioned REACH, the EU chemicals regulation.
All right, what's the angle there?
They support a balanced approach within REACH, focusing on risk rather than, say, blanket bans that might stifle innovation. Basically, managing chemicals safely but smartly.
And for biotech.
Promoting it as a key industry. That means easing regulations for certain applications, including new genomic techniques like CRISPR.
Okay.
Combine that with better venture capital access, and yeah, they hope to position Germany right at the forefront of these fields. Big implications for global health and industry if they succeed.
Now, looking further afield, what about trade beyond Europe? Africa is mentioned.
Yes. There's a plan to deepen trade relations with African states as part of a new Africa strategy. It signals recognizing the continent's growing economic importance.
Diversifying partners.
Exactly. And building stronger, mutually beneficial ties. Plus, they want to ratify existing economic partnership deals in 2025 with countries like Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Cameroon, and the SADC states.
Solidifying those links. And Asia, Singapore and Vietnam pop up.
Swift ratification of investment protection agreements there. It underlines the focus on key players in Asia's dynamic economies.
Singapore is a hub. Vietnam is a manufacturing base.
Precisely. These agreements aim for more security and predictability for German investments there, and vice versa, fostering stronger economic ties.
And finally, on the economic front, there's even mention of boosting tourism. How does that fit the global picture?
Well, a new national tourism strategy might seem domestic, but a thriving, welcoming tourism sector really boosts Germany's global image, its soft power.
Good point. It all connects. Okay, let's move to the next major section. Responsible foreign policy, united Europe, secure Germany. The title says a lot.
It really does. It ties those three elements together. The idea that Germany's global role depends on responsible foreign policy, a strong EU, and security at home.
And the text explicitly says Germany and Europe need to be able to guarantee their security more comprehensively now.
Yes, that's a clear acknowledgement of the tougher security environment we're in.
And Germany's military, the Bundeswehr, seems set for a bigger role within NATO.
Definitely. The goal stated is for it to make a central contribution to NATO's deterrence and defense, even becoming a sort of role model among allies.
That's a significant ambition.
It signals Germany intends to shoulder more responsibility within the alliance.
And commitment to NATO and the EU remains rock solid. Transatlantic ties still central.
Absolutely unwavering, according to the text. The U.S. partnership is key. But interestingly, there's also talk of strengthening Europe's own ability to act.
So transatlanticism plus a stronger European capacity.
That seems to be the balance they're aiming for. Deepening other strategic partnerships, too, not just the traditional ones. It suggests a more, perhaps, diversified foreign policy approach.
It's good to see they're also talking about global responsibility beyond hard power tackling poverty, hunger, inequality, climate change via the Paris Agreement and UN goals.
Yes, that commitment to multilateralism and global challenges is still there. Institutionally, there's a plan to upgrade the Federal Security Council.
Right, into a National Security Council and the Chancellor. What's the idea behind that structure?
It sounds like a move towards better coordination across different policy areas: defense, cyber, economy, intelligence, and improving strategic foresight.
A more integrated approach to security.
Exactly. Recognizing that security threats are complex and need a holistic government response, planned out better for the long term.
And diplomatically, they seem open to flexible formats, like the E3.
Yes, using formats like the E3 Germany, France, UK, and maybe even including non-EU states sometimes. It suggests pragmatism, using different tools for different foreign policy goals.
Okay, let's talk Ukraine. The agreement seems very clear on this.
Extremely clear. It calls a strong, sovereign, democratic Ukraine with a Euro-Atlantic future essential for Germany's own security.
And the support continues.
Unwavering commitment stated military, civilian, political support for as long as necessary. It's a very strong signal of solidarity and recognition of the stakes.
Right. Shifting focus slightly, what about the global south? There seems to be an increased emphasis there too.
Yes, a definite push to intensify bilateral ties and build a global network. It's about broadening Germany's reach in an increasingly multipolar world.
And a new North-South Commission.
To specifically focus on that relationship, underlining its importance. And alongside that, a commitment to strengthen humanitarian aid, making it reliable, targeted, proactive.
Okay, back to defense quickly. Nuclear sharing within NATO is reaffirmed. Can you remind us what that means?
It's the NATO arrangement where non-nuclear members like Germany participate in planning
Yeah.
and could potentially host or deliver U.S. nuclear weapons in a major crisis.
And Germany remaining part of that is significant.
It's a key part of NATO's overall deterrence posture and shows Germany's continued commitment to collective defense within the alliance framework.
And they also talk about strengthening the European pillar of NATO and EU-NATO cooperation.
Yes, and they highlight Germany's central geographic location as making it a natural hub for these efforts. It points to a vision of Germany playing a really key role in linking and strengthening European defense efforts within the broader alliance.
To make sure the Bundeswehr is actually capable of fulfilling these roles, there are plans for better funding and planning.
A couple of key things. A proposed Bundeswehr Planning Act aims to give a more solid, long-term parliamentary framework for funding and equipment.
More predictability for the military budget.
And stronger parliamentary oversight, too. Plus, a big focus on increasing operational readiness quickly and sustainably. And pushing ahead with major projects like the Future Combat Air System, FCAS, and the new tank project, MGCS.
They're also looking at future tech for the military.
Very much so. Increased promotion and introduction of things like satellite systems, AI, unmanned systems, drones, basically plus cyber, and even hypersonics.
So, trying to stay ahead of the curve technologically.
That's the clear intention, yes. Modernizing to meet future threats.
Now, connecting foreign policy to other areas, how does development cooperation link with migration management in this plan?
There's an explicit link made. The idea is to provide more support for refugees in their home countries or main host countries nearby
The goal being.
to improve conditions there, create opportunities, and discourage people from undertaking dangerous journeys to Europe.
And climate finance.
Continuing Germany's fair share, but with a growing focus on mobilizing private money alongside public funds, and maybe getting contributions from non-traditional donors too.
But isn't there also a mention of cutting the development aid budget, the ODA quota?
Yes, the agreement acknowledges the need for budget consolidation, calling it a necessary and appropriate reduction.
So how they square that circle, a cutting aid while wanting to support development?
It seems the strategy is more targeted aid, perhaps, and putting a much bigger emphasis on leveraging private investment for development goals. A blended finance approach, essentially.
Okay. And just wrapping up the foreign policy section, they reiterate support for Ukraine and crucially the Franco-German friendship. Why is that always so central?
Because historically, the Paris-Berlin engine has driven European integration. Close cooperation there is seen as vital for tackling any major EU challenge, from security to the economy.
And speaking of the economy, they want the EU to remain a strong industrial location.
Yes, actively working to create good investment conditions, speed up approvals, modernize competition and state aid law, simplify rules for big cross-border projects, IPCEIs.
So the overall vision for the EU is strong and geopolitically capable.
That's the language used. An EU that can meet historical challenges, especially by boosting security and defense and increasing competitiveness. Though they do note member states are primarily responsible for the funding.
Got it. And finally, EU enlargement.
Continued support for the accession path of the Western Balkan countries, plus Ukraine and Moldova. They see it as a mutual interest and will continue support efforts, like the Berlin process.
Okay, so let's try and bring this all together. It seems this coalition agreement maps out a plan for Germany focused on economic dynamism through innovation and global partnerships.
Right, coupled with a simultaneous push for Germany to take on a more significant, more responsible role in European and global security.
All within those established frameworks, NATO and the EU, there's a clear nod to multilateralism, tackling global issues like climate change, but also a kind of pragmatic realism about budgets and strategic shifts.
Exactly. Which leads us, I think, to the final thought for you, our listeners. Considering everything we've discussed, these priorities, these ambitions, these constraints, how do you see Germany's global influence changing in the years ahead?
Yeah, what unforeseen challenges or maybe opportunities might pop up from this new direction? What parts of this agreement really jump out at you as being most significant for Germany's future on the world stage?
It's definitely a complex picture, lots to think about.
For sure. We really encourage you to look deeper into the full agreement if you can, to get all the nuances. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.